Invite God to come and stay. Good morning. Not very many announcements. Community meal tonight. Next Sunday, 9 a.m. So you need to get out. You need to have your coffee earlier, maybe, or something, right? I don't know. Is there any other announcements anybody has that needs to be made? Yes. Oh, yeah, okay. The youth, we're having another bunko party, you know, for everybody. They were sponsoring it. Well, there's some problems with their schedule in the school, so it's been canceled, the bunko night, where you can't go and have any fun then, right? Seeing I'm on duty again today, you're going to be inundated with some more Stephen Ministry material. Things are going quite well, really. And looking out over the congregation, you don't know who I'm praying for that the Spirit moves you to want to be a Stephen minister. That's my job, to try to see if I can't get the Holy Spirit excited and you excited about being part of our Stephen Ministry program. So, Jeff.
Since we began Stephen Ministry 20 years ago, I can go to sleep at night knowing that there are about 20 people receiving quality Christian care from a Stephen minister. Now, I, as a pastor, don't have another 20 hours a week that I can give in order to give them that kind of quality of care. And so it's just a delight to know that they're being taken care of in their time of need.
Okay, is that, that's it. Yeah, well, I think it was a start. That's good, though. That was a pastor, right? And sometimes we expect our pastors to do everything. And then we say, why don't they go and visit that person? Why don't they care a little more? Well, here's our opportunity to be able to do that for those within our congregation. And once we become a super team, maybe within the community, we can help those that need just listening. So that's really what we're going, that's what we're about, listening for the people that are hurting and need somebody to listen. We're going to open the service today, and 408, what does your bulletin say? Cindy, I remembered that. 408 is, so let's stand and sing The Gift of Love. We welcome together this day, we come together this day, dawned by the light of God's love.
In God's eternal kingdom, darkness and despair are vanquished.
In God's eternal realm, peace and hope reign.
Let all people praise God with their music and their voices.
Let all the people praise God with their deeds of loving kindness. Sing page 380. singing as I go. Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, our constant companion. Remind us of all our brother Jesus taught. Refresh us with water from your life-giving stream and renew us with your heavenly peace. Grant us visions of your new creation and draw us together as sisters and brothers. Come, Holy Spirit, come and stay. Amen. May be seated. I don't see any. Pastor Thompson was going to do the children's sermon, but we don't have any today. I should have introduced him a little earlier, maybe. Emmanuel Thompson is a chaplain at the VA hospital in Madison. He's been there a few years. And really, truthfully, just recently married, because he told me he's not quite reached 2 years. And I told him, well, he's got to catch up to a lot of us that are in our 50s and years and so on. However, he is also an expectant father. So, and he told me that he went to the Methodist Church in Africa, Sierra Leone, right? So that's where he grew up. Maybe we got him home. I don't know. All right, today's scripture, the first scripture today is found in Acts 16, 9 through 15. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come to that Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, We put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace. And the next day we went to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and a leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the woman who had gathered, women that had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Then she and the members of her household were baptized. She invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Thank you, choir. Awesome. Second reading is found in John chapter 14, 23 through 29. "Because a loveless world," said Jesus, "is a sightless world, if anyone loves me, he He will carefully keep my word, and my Father will love him. We'll move right into the neighborhood. Not loving me means not keeping my words. The message you are hearing isn't mine. It's the message of the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things while I'm still living with you. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. He will remind you of all the things I have told you. I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you. Peace. I don't leave you the way you used to be left, feeling abandoned. So don't be upset. Don't be distraught. You've heard me tell you, I'm going away and I'm coming back. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm on my way to the Father, because the Father is the goal and purpose of my life. I've told you this ahead of time, before it happens, so that when it does happen, the confirmation will deepen your belief in me. I'll not be talking with you much more like this, because the chief of this godless world is about to attack. But don't worry, he has nothing on me, no claim on me. But so the world might know how thoroughly I love the Father, I am carrying out my Father's instructions right down to the last detail. Get up. Let's go. It's time to leave.
Good morning.
My name is Emmanuel Thompson, and I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I also bring you greeting on behalf of my wife, who is not able to be here today. She is actually currently in Seattle attending some church conference over there. So I bring you guys greeting, and I also want to thank my friend Rachel. It is through her that I'm here this morning. You know, God walks through people. You know, that's how he has designed things. So I want you to know that I appreciate you, you know, connecting me to Concordia. And I'm really humbled and delighted to be here this morning. I can truly say that the Spirit of God is at work in your life. Because the scripture says that the joy of the Lord, it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I can tell that there is liberty in this house to praise and to worship God Almighty. I want to say thank you to the choir and the music. You know, that was very lovely rendition. So let us pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for this morning. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for your word that has come forth this morning, O God. Lord, I just lift up this time in your word, O God, I pray. That, Lord, I will decrease and that you will increase, O God. And, Lord, I pray for your people, O God, that your people will have a receptive spirit to receive your word this morning, O God. Knowing that I'm just a vessel and a mouthpiece, O God. I thank you for this time. I pray you'll open your spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, and that your word will come forth with authority, with power, with comfort, and to meet each and every one of us at our point of needs this morning. We thank you and we bless you this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning I have titled my message, Designed for Love and Peace. The title of the message this morning is Designed for Love and Peace. And the scripture that we have read this morning from the Gospel of John chapter 14 and also from Acts chapter 16, it is clear that the scripture says that we should not let our hearts be troubled, neither should we be afraid. I want you to think about that for a moment, because we have to understand that for Jesus Christ to say what he was saying as he was preparing the disciples of what was going to happen and that he was not going to be with them again, you know, in person, you know, there are many concerns that will be going on in the minds of those disciples. And even with us in this dispensation of time that we are living, sometimes when you look around the world, when you look around what is probably going in the depth of your being, or even in your family situation, your heart might be troubled. But this morning, I want you to know that even though your heart might experience some trouble and that your heart might be afraid from time to time, the Word of God is here to encourage us. The Word of God is here to strengthen us and to uplift us as we go through this journey of life, especially as people of faith, knowing that we look up to Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. Why would Jesus say such a word? In the Gospel of John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. I strongly believe the reason why Christ was saying that to his disciples is to remind us that our hearts is designed in a unique and specific ways. I want you to think for a moment about this building. I want you to think about cars or furniture. You know, all of those things that I just named, this building was not just built. There is a design for this building. And if something goes wrong with this building, they have to go back and check the design in order to figure out what can be done or what cannot be done, so that in doing anything to this building, it will not affect the original design. Because if it affects it, then we're going to be led to so many problems. Well, it is the same thing with us as people. We are not here by accident, or the emotions and the things that we feel and experience is not by accident. The reason why you might feel certain way as you are going through life and facing the challenges is for you to realize and to recognize that you were designed to experience the love of God and the peace of God in the midst of the challenges of life. And that goes back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when God says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And then after God created Adam and Eve, he breathed into him the breath of life. And part of that breath of life was to experience the love and the peace of God. So if you look at our design as human beings and as people of faith who are anchored in Christ and in creation, when God created man in his image and in his likeness, we have to realize that we are uniquely designed to experience the love of God, to experience the peace of God. And that's why in the scripture that we have read this morning, Jesus Christ says, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. If you love me, you will keep my commandment. Because the commandment that he is talking about, it's talking about the commandment that came from the Father. The commandment that came from the Father. Not only that, the Father has sent the Holy Spirit to help us to be able to experience the love and the peace of God Almighty. Because we were designed to experience the nature of the triune God, where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. And that's why if you've lived long enough and you've lived in this world, maybe you've gotten yourself into certain things, but you know that deep down within those things never satisfied your heart. Why? Because our heart is designed in a unique way. And that unique way is to experience God's love and is to experience God's peace. And as a result of that, that design to experience God's love and peace, that's why we have to respond to that love. We have to respond to that peace. And how do we respond to that? Is by what the Word of God is saying this morning. It said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. In keeping his command, there are a few things that are important to realize. God is not in the business of killing our joy or our happiness. But there is a reason. In keeping God's command, in response to his love, is actually protecting us. He's also preserving us. So, as we are here this morning, I want you to understand and to know that in keeping God's command, as the scripture said that we read this morning, God wants to protect us. He wants to preserve our hearts from the aches, from the pains, and from the hurts of life. Because it is not a matter of if the next challenge is going to come in life, but it's a matter of when. And because we are uniquely designed in the image and in the likeness of God, God knows that his love, he knows that his peace is available and can overcome the pain, the suffering, the hurt, the abandonment that sometimes, or the rejection that you might have experienced from time to time as you go through life. So in keeping God's command, I want you to know that we can enjoy his protection and his preservation. From God's protection and preservation, we can feel the love and the peace of God. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us to rest in this weary world that we find ourselves. You know the scripture we read this morning in verse 27. Jesus Christ said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. It says, not as the world gives do I give to you. It said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I give to you. Peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give you. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. I want to point out a couple of things from that particular verse. I want us to know that this world promises artificial peace. And Christ promises us the real peace. So we have to realize and we have to be sensitive to know the differences between the peace that comes from Jesus Christ and the peace that sometimes we might have experienced in this world. Because knowing the difference between these two peace, the worldly peace that sometimes we think we're experiencing, and then the peace of God, is the resolution in times of trouble. It's where we can find comfort and strength when we are going through the challenges of life. So it is important to know that Christ gives us his peace. He leaves us with that peace. And that peace is based on the nature of who God is. To know that God is a loving Father. To know that by sending his Son, we can have peace with him again. And the worldly peace is based on circumstances. And that's why when our circumstances changes from time to time, we can experience the unsettledness within our spirit. You know, there is a difference. And my prayer this morning is that we will respond to Christ's peace, because that peace is being made available to us. And we know that He is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9 told us that Christ is the Prince of Peace. So if we want to talk this morning about being designed for love and for peace, we have to realize that Christ embodies this. And as long as we have relationship and fellowship with God through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, no matter what life will throw at us, we can still experience the peace of God in the midst of the storm. This morning, is your heart troubled and afraid? Whose peace are your heart focused on? Is your heart focusing on the peace of Christ or this world peace? I want you to know that Christ is the only one that can stabilize the tensions in our hearts. And in response to God's love, His peace is activated in our lives as we deal with maybe physical declines of our lives and the world around us. I want you to know that you are not alone this morning. The Prince of Peace has always been with you and will continue to be with you. All we have to do this morning as the people of God, as the people of faith, is to set our hearts on Him so that our entire being, our body, our mind and our spirit will enjoy the love and peace we were designed to experience. I want you to know that our hearts and our minds were designed to experience the peace of God. But because we live in this world, there could be counterfeit peace in different pursuits of life. But this morning, I want to call you back home to encourage you in the midst of the distractions, in the midst of the challenges, to realize that you are uniquely designed to experience the love and the peace of God. And the invitation is to respond to that. And in responding to God's love and His peace, He protects us. He preserves us as we go through this journey of life. I want to use this illustration to get this point out, for us to understand that we are uniquely designed to experience the peace and the love of God. And that goes back to Genesis, because we are created in the image and in the likeness of God. I want you to take, for instance, the effect of water in our bodies, and also soda that we put into our bodies. I want you to think in relation to also famine that maybe most of you guys here are familiar with, because you're in Wisconsin. You know, even though we live close to the city, there are so many farms. But I want you to picture water, what water does, and what soda or juice also does. Even though water and soda or juice are liquids, water is what our body is designed to contain and sustain. Okay? In order for us to grow food and to do farming, it is water that allow the crops, the rain and everything to grow. You can take tons and gallons of soda or juice and you go to the farmland and pour it there. Is it going to grow? It's not going to grow. Why? Because in order to produce food, water is what is designed to help that grow. Our body is the same thing. If you are thirsty, you can drink soda, you can drink juice and all of those type of things. But until you drink water, you are not going to be satisfied. Why am I saying this thing? I'm saying all of these things because it is the same with our troubled hearts. In as much as our hearts respond to this world pleasure, it is only the love of God that can fill the longing of our hearts, because our hearts are designed for God's love and for His peace. That is the point this morning. Nothing can satisfy the heart. The things of this world are good. We need them to do certain things and to accomplish certain things. And we contribute, we make a difference. You know, it's good to grow up, get married, and stay married. It's good to have children and raise them, have a career and all of those type of things. It's good, we are making a difference. But when it's all said and done, deep down within our heart, it is only the genuine love of God and the peace of God that can keep us going in the midst of our storms, in the midst of our challenges. And that's what I want to leave with you guys this morning. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Picture of loving God and keeping His command, we see that in the scripture that was read from Acts chapter 16, where Paul was being sensitive to the Holy Spirit to go to Macedonia. And we see also the response of the lady Lydia in terms of her providing housing to Paul and Paul's team is a picture of God's love and peace. You know, as we wait the coming of Christ, the question I want to leave you this morning is, how sensitive are we to the Holy Spirit leading us to enjoy the love and the peace of God in this broken world? How sensitive are we to the leading of the Holy Spirit to experience the love and the joy and the peace of God that we are designed for? I want to encourage you this morning that the triune God has been at work in our lives, is at work in our lives right now, and will continue to be at work in our lives so that we can truly experience the peace and the love of God. And the peace and the love of God is not just something that we say. It is something that we act out. And that is embedded in the sacrifice and the commitment we are willing to make towards God and His kingdom work. So this morning, I want to challenge each and every one of us here this morning to search yourself. The things that are occupying your life, are they in response to God's love? Do you truly have the peace of God? Or are you just wrestling with from time to time as things are happening with this world peace? Because Christ promises us this morning in His word, He said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. How bad do you want that? How bad do you want that? Because He has given us His peace freely. He has left us with His peace. But from time to time, our hearts are going to be troubled. But I want you to know that no matter what you might be going through, you are not alone. Because our hearts is designed to experience the love and the peace of God. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to encourage you this morning to take time and to reflect on your life from time to time whenever you feel uneasy within yourself. And ask yourself, am I anchored in the peace of God, or am I anchored in this world peace? Because as long as we are anchored in the peace of God, that Christ came to live with us, we are not going to crumble. But if we are anchored in this world peace, there is hope. We can let go and embrace the peace of God. May each and every one of you be reminded that the only thing that can satisfy our longing heart is the love and the peace of God. And may we receive the grace this morning and the rest of our lives to respond to God's love and peace by keeping his commands. Amen.
Every minute of every day, God is at work around us and within us. For the homeless, a place to live. For the hungry, a feast. For the thirsty, a cup of cold, clean water that runneth over. For the weary, rest. For the lonely, a friend. For the sick, healing and wholeness. Here's what I believe. Every minute of every day, God is making all things new, giving and giving and giving again. We are called to be part of God's work of generosity. We are called to give, to surrender our time, our talent, and treasure to this God work of making all things new. Wait upon the ushers. With your abundant love, you bless us beyond measure. In gratitude, we share these gifts and ask that you use them and use us to achieve your purposes. May all your sons and daughters receive the inheritance of your peace. Amen.
May be seated.
We want to pray for the congregation. Is there anyone who would like us to pray with them about anything at this time? Okay, well, we're still going to pray, okay? We're going to pray for Pastor Doris, who is not here. You know, she's your pastor. You want her to come back safely, eh? We're going to pray for her. And also, God knows our needs. And even though you have not raised it or spoken it, we'll pray that he will meet all of our needs according to his riches in glory. And I would like us to say a word of prayer for, you know, as a nation, as we pause to observe Memorial Day, you know, we want to pray for those families that have lost loved ones in the line of duty defending the freedom we enjoy in the United States. You know, that freedom is not free. So we want to remember them in our prayer this morning, that God will be with those families, you know, in as much as it's a day we look back and reflect, but there are families dealing with the loss, the grief, you know, which never goes away. And the goal is to be able to grieve healthily. So let us pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for this time, this opportunity to enjoy your sweet presence with your people at Concordia United Methodist Church, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will activate by the power of your Holy Spirit everything that has been done here, O God. So that our lives will yield fruit, O God. We want to lift up Pastor Doris to you as she is away, O God, that you be with her, you protect her, and you bring her back safely, O God. And Lord, I just pray for these people here, Lord. Your word says you will meet all of our needs according to your riches in glory. Those that are dealing with emotional issues, physical issues, limitations, O God, I pray you'll meet them at their various points of needs this morning, O God. And Lord, we want to remember our nation military, O God. This weekend we celebrate Memorial Day, O God. But there are families that have lost loved ones. We pray that those loved ones will continue to rest in peace. But we want to pray for the comfort of the families, O God, as they continue to grieve and mourn, O God. Your word says that you are the God of all comfort. I pray that your comfort will meet them at their point of needs, and their hearts will come to experience that comfort, knowing that in the midst of their loss, O God, you still love them, and that your peace is available to them. We thank you and we bless you for this opportunity, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please receive the benediction. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, Rest remain and abide with each and every one of you. Leave this place. Go in peace. Know that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit loves you, cares about you, has been with you, is with you now, and will always be with you. Amen.
We'll rise, sing in the black hymnal, hymn number 2171.